This is Papa Hale speaking, and you are listening to a Wrestling with Words podcast. Visit us at WrestlingWithWords.com and follow us on Twitter at WrestleWords. If you don't, you are not Papa Hale's approved. But remember to always be fired up!
Hey guys, you are listening to the Fans of Wrestling show on the Wrestling with Words Audio Network. I am Patrick, your host with Danny Danger and Tamika. How are you guys doing this Wednesday evening?
Pretty fantastic.
Yes, fantastic. We had big since our last show. We've had quite a lot of big things in wrestling happen. Some to people we know, some to others we don't. But a lot of big things, and of course, big things coming up.
Well, let's talk about one of the biggest shockers in the pro wrestling business, and that was the big reveal that Kurt Angle is the proud papa of former member of the American Alpha, Jason Jordan.
Was that really necessary? It was way too much. I felt like I was watching an episode of, like, Days of Our Lives or All My Children or something. It really, really was. It was stupid. At least I feel it was stupid. And I think the internet kind of agrees because everybody's making fun of it.
I mean, it's a goofy angle whenever they do these kid things because we've seen them in the past and they don't always pan out. It doesn't give the young guy the rub that they thought it would. And the biggest problem is now is what happens to Chad Gable. Like, are they still going to be a tag team, or are they now split up and he's, you know, Jason Jordan hyphen Angle, and then Chad's just Ready, Willing, and Gable over there in the corner by himself?
That's exactly it. So, first of all, Danny and I talked about it last week, how it was the Wrestling with Words broke the news on Twitter. The big reveal would be that Angle was going to have a son that was one of the members of American Alpha. And of course, Danny was not a big fan of the angle last week. It happened. And now it's official. American Alpha is no more.
They broke up. They broke up the band.
Because one of them's got a famous dad. You think they would use that to propel both of them instead of just trying to push Jason Jordan as a singles guy.
Now, I thought that they would have chosen Chad Gable. I mean, he's got the wrestler name. You know,
And he's white, yeah.
He only has the last name of the greatest, you know, Olympic collegiate wrestler in the universe, in Dan Gable.
Kurt Angle.
No. I'm talking about Gable, man.
He's an Olympic gold medalist. That makes him the best, okay? You mentioned the best. It's Kurt Angle, okay? The only Olympic gold medalist in professional wrestling history, okay? That makes him the best.
Dan Gable retired with only one loss in his entire record. All right. That makes him the greatest.
Okay, wait. Let me stop you. Let me put something very important out there that you need to understand. Nobody cares.
Yeah, that's why it's not like, it's about Kurt Angle or it's not, okay?
He led the Iowa Hawkeyes to 15 NCAA national championships.
And what Steiner years was this? Like 1930?
The Steiner brothers had Letterman's jackets, okay? That means that they're automatically better. They came into professional wrestling, which means they're better, okay?
Like, really?
Brock Lesnar's held championships in three different sports, okay? Professional wrestling, MMA, and amateur wrestling. That means he's better, okay? Cross promotion is key.
Anyways, we're not gonna argue here on who is the true greatest of all times. The point is, it should have been Gable, not Jordan. But they like Jordan because of his size.
And we know Kurt Angle likes black women. He was with...
Can we say women of color, please? I don't know what she is. Woman of color.
You know exactly what color What's-Her-Face was. Who was on
Raka Khan.
His divorce ended because he was sleeping with Raka Khan and his wife was sleeping with his boss, Jeff Jarrett. That's That's shoot life, though. he, you know, had a domestic dispute with this woman where he ended up going and, you know, they hit each other. She probably hit him harder because she's bigger than he is. You know, and Kurt Angle's not got a guy who's ever been known for his striking ability.
Jesus.
So we're going to, so we know that that's, you know, that's like a shoot life story thing. Okay.
So Kurt likes the chocolate and, yes. And now he has a chocolate boy.
That's it. It's a white, he's a white chocolate boy.
He's a white chocolate. He is a white chocolate boy. He is a white chocolate boy. So yeah, the reason it's Jordan instead of Gable is because the WWE has more of a vested interest in Jason Jordan, yeah, as opposed to Chad Gable. Not that there's anything wrong with Chad Gable. Nothing wrong with the regular white guy. But,
and they also like to try to throw a little bit of a swerve in there and then not let it pay off, like Hornswoggle being Vince's son, and Hornswoggle being the anonymous Raw general manager who lived under the ring and all this. They have a history of making poor payoffs and then having them mean nothing. So hopefully this does something for Jason Jordan, more so than the surprise kid thing has ever done in professional wrestling.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to them getting this over and done with, because it is really kind of ridiculous if you ask me. It's so far-fetched that it's supposed to be funny, but it's not funny. It's just like, really? We wasted how many minutes of airtime week after week with this whole
Corey, you know, getting the text messages and
right,
doing his investigative reporting and all this for Kurt Angle to pretend to cry in the ring and
right
and hug a young black man.
God, you
guys have worked for the same company. Like, why are you just now like, he's my son, like, come on.
Now here's my question to you guys on this whole thing. Jason Jordan was undevelopmental for a long time. It wasn't until he was paired up with Chad Gable that he got over. So here's my question to you guys. Without Chad Gable, does Jason Jordan ever get called up to the main roster?
Potentially no, especially when we watch the reality show they had about NXT.
So
we saw that he's, no, the other one where we find out that Jason Jordan's kind of an asshole.
Right, the WWE 24 series.
Not the 24. There was like 10 episodes of NXT or whatever. I can't remember what it was called. I thought there was a different name for it, but whatever. It doesn't matter. But we saw that Jason Jordan's kind of a jerk, and so with the potential poor attitude and him not getting over, he probably without him and Chad Gable hitting that pairing and getting over with the crowd so well there, Jason Jordan might have been let go.
I don't know if they would have let him go. I think he would have stayed in developmental. I don't think they would let him go. He's still a good, solid little hand. And as long as he was willing to help train and be in the ring and bump and what have you, they would have kept him around. They would not have invested a character in him per se. They just would have let him just kind of be. Gable is clearly the one with the personality. I think they put him as Angle's son because, let's be honest, Kurt doesn't really have a personality. He's not, you know, it took a while for you to get the funny Kurt Angle, the Kurt Angle cracking jokes and what have you in the WWE.
Because he wasn't supposed to be that. He was supposed to be a serious athlete. That was his gimmick, he was a serious, fierce competitor. And then he had the three eyes, which made him a cocky jerk. But that was his character. And then they changed the character to him, like, you know, spraying them with the milk truck and then doing all the stuff where he and Austin would get into hugging battles over the affections of Vince McMahon and these kind of things. But initially the character, he was supposed to be a cocky jerk who would go in there and rip people apart in the ring.
Kurt is a legitimate athlete, you know, he's an Olympic gold medalist. And there's so much acting and wrestling that Kurt seems, and still to this day for me, is very stiff, you know, in his delivery of everything. And that's fine, and it's dandy because he's done so much in the sport. I think Jason Jordan reminds them of Kurt in a way because he's, again, he's a good solid hand. He has great fundamentals or whatever, but he's stiff. There's no personality there. It's very
robotic. Yeah, Shelton Benjamin. He's a good athlete, but he doesn't have much of a persona.
Right. Well, Shelton now has personality, I think, but that's just my personal.
Where's the personality at? Nobody sees it now.
You leave Shelton be alone, okay?
He's got a personality sitting on his couch. Is that what he is? That's what it is. I'm glad he finally developed that while he's not wrestling, instead of having that and maintaining his wrestling career. More so than just the Money in the Bank ladder matches and taking crazy bumps.
Okay, tell me how you really feel.
He got super kicked by Shawn Michaels, and that's the video that you see of him most.
Now, Danny was correct. It was not WWE 24. We stand corrected. It was WWE Breaking Ground.
There you go, that one.
Show the behind the scenes on the NXT.
When we found how cool of a person, like, some of them are, and then how big of a jerk some of them are. And so some people that you're not supposed to like, you're now rooting for because you realize they're cool people. And then people like Jason Jordan, who you had that for no apparent reason, got very, very hostile with Tyler Breeze over his boots. And we're like, that is a complete and utter dick move. It's like a dick jock move. What do you mean, man? You can't just be wearing that stuff. Shut your face, jerk.
Wow. Wow.
This is, if you remember the show, that's exactly how it happened. He accosted Tyler because Tyler was wearing amateur wrestling boots either in training or something. And
it was the day of the show.
Oh, it was day of the show.
Now, Danny, last thing, though, were you disappointed that this was not the completion of NXTNA with Dixie showing up?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Dixie revealed as his lover, and that Ethan Carter III was not actually her nephew. He was her son, and Kurt Angle was his dad. That would have been the final piece in the whole thing, and that would have completed the NXT TNA takeover. But apparently that has fallen through, I guess, and you know, now they have to start anew with the GFWWE takeover.
Never say never. They might still find, you know, more resources. Hey, we could find out that maybe Chad Gable was also his son and he was Dixie's son, you know?
There you go.
They're twins. There you go.
Kurt Angle just liked to sling his stuff around. He was a big man for the rats back in the day.
Oh, and Dixie
Carter was a rat back in the day. That makes sense, too.
Speaking of rats, so there's a whole issue going on AAA with the Reina de Reyes title.
Did you just use the term rats to segue into a talk, serious talk about female wrestlers?
No, about AAA.
So you're about saying the people at AAA are sneaky like rats, not that you're referring to women's wrestlers as working rats.
I am referring to AAA and Vampiro as rats.
Wanted to clarify before the three women that currently listen to the show decided to stop because you're chauvinist. I just wanted to let them know.
We have a woman as a co-host of the show. I love women's pro wrestling. They're some of my favorite wrestlers in the world.
I know this, but I'm just wanting to make sure that we establish this before somebody hears a snippet and goes, those guys are jerks, and then never listens again.
But we are jerks, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, but it's not because we don't like women, though.
You guys love women. You love women's wrestling. The rats in this situation are the officials at Triple A.
Yeah, they're sadly are notorious for being sneaky and nefarious types.
So here's how it all went down. What I hear is Triple A officials ask Mundo when he comes to AAA to bring the championship that, you know, belongs to Taya the Valkyrie with them.
Yes.
Thinking they're going to do some promo shots, some stuff like that. Instead, they take it, and then Vampiro announces that the title is now vacant and they're going to have a new champion, and then Taya is gone. Then they're blaming her for not coming to a booking, even though she was never told that she was booked.
Yeah, she was never booked, apparently, what she says.
Crazy stuff. AAA now, not only is that, but the fact that, you know, Taya is engaged to Mundo, who is their Triple Crown champion right now.
Yeah, because the speculation is now, are they going to do something similar to Mundo, like try to get him to send the belts in and not have him defend the belts or something. So what they did with the Reina de Reinas, though, so they basically stripped Taya of it for not defending it because she no-showed an event that she was never booked for. And then they gave the belt to the returning sexy star, who apparently retired from left AAA, retired from wrestling to do boxing. She took off her mask, and then she did some indie dates in the States without the mask. But now she just suddenly reappears as sexy star with the mask back on, like nothing happened, and now she's handed the championship. And they apparently still, you know, they've turned into some kind of a Twitter war, and Vampiro ended up blocking a bunch of people because they were calling him, you know, he's a biggest mark for himself and all this stuff. So he ended up blocking, you know, probably hundreds of people over the course of the last couple of days. Anybody who said anything mean about him, he blocked him. You think a guy like him might have a little bit tougher skin, but you know, whatever. You know, I mean, but it's yet again, it's one of those. It happens here in the American indie scene as well. But Mexico, especially AAA, is known for screwing over wrestlers when they don't want to do anything with them. You know, they copyright the wrestlers' names without telling them and fire them and say, oh yeah, no, you can't use that name anymore. You have. So then that's why we have, you know, Penta El Cero M and L.A. Park and, you know, those kind of things. The guys have to change their names and all this. And then they end up giving other people that gimmick still in AAA. You know, they're like, oh, we own it, so now we're going to make a new La Parca. So they're you know, notorious for screwing guys over. Pena's been doing that for seemingly decades at this point.
Pena, may he rest in peace, is now his nephew that's doing, you know, Dorian Roldan that's doing all this messing up. Now he's doing the screwing.
Yeah.
He's following in the family's footsteps. He's keeping traditions alive. I mean, it is absolutely positively horrible how they did this. And the issue is that they've done it now to a bigger star. They've been doing it forever.
An international star, somebody who has stronger ties to the United States, to Canada.
The thing is, they did it to Conan. You know, and we can say that he's probably the biggest international star in the company's history, but they did it to him when he was getting a little older and getting past his prime. A guy like Mundo and Taya, who are, you know, right now in their prime of their career, and they're so popular with everybody.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, too. When they did it with Conan, I mean, like, how many hundreds of years ago was that?
A lot,
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. With LA, with La Parca and stuff too, like these guys were, at least as AAA saw them, on the downswing of their career, past their prime. But Taya and Mundo, being literally two of the biggest stars they have, still well in their prime, you know, and these people, they can go and make big strides somewhere. I also saw today I don't know if this was 100% confirmed, but the Taya is already starting an agreement, a working agreement with Global Force. You know, once they start doing things, she apparently accepted one of these crummy contracts that people have been exposing today as well. But so apparently that's where, I guess, they were the ones who first threw out an offer. Now, whether she signs some kind of contract with them or whether it's for kind of a handful of appearances and then we'll see about a contract later. But apparently she's already in talks with Global Force. I mean, and she's absolutely right. She should just, you know, say, hey, see you later, and just keep working the scene, man. She can, I mean, she knows she's a valuable asset, and she's gonna do what she needs to.
When you wonder about Mundo, what is he going to do with this Triple Crown? You know, is he going to, he could literally just screw them and no show his appearances, you know.
What he needs to do is Stan Hansen it and take a video of himself riding over the belts in a truck and then send them the broken belts, like, you know, as a as a COD package, so they even have to pay for the shipping. That's what Stan Hansen did with the old AWA belt. They told him to drop it to somebody he didn't want to drop it to, and they said, well, you know, blah, blah, you got to give us the belt. And he ran over it with his truck and sent him the broken pieces, sent Gagne the broken pieces of the belt in the mail. So I think it would be cool if Mundo did that, you know?
So let's segue that into Global Force Wrestling. You know, as you said, Taya looks to be heading that way. Mundo's actually also to be heading that way as well. Another rumor out there, of course. Not sure exactly how, what all this, you know, what exactly does that entail, because there are contracts with Lucha Underground that will prevent them to be able to move to Global Force Wrestling. Now, Rey Mysterio has a contract offer as well for Global Force Wrestling, but of course,
yeah,
he also has a, you know, 90-day clause after season 3 finishes airing this September.
Lucha, yeah. Because I did read something about basically what Ray anticipated when he left WWE, you know, the contract he anticipated with AAA and all these other things that seemingly didn't fall into place. His contract was for a whole lot less than he was originally anticipating or originally told. So signing with Global Force, although it, you know, it may not be a lot better, we're seeing some of the conditions that they are putting on the people who sign these Global Force contracts. They include things such as Global Force gets 10% of all of your independent booking fees. So you just give them 10% right off the top of everything you make from an independent booking. And they get 100% of any merchandise sold through them. They're using your likeness and you don't get a single penny of that. So, you know, for people who are of higher caliber, they may make exceptions to these. You know, they may make exceptions for Rey Mysterio as far as merchandising goes. But those are conditions that are, you know, that kind of screw over the wrestlers a little bit, because that's some of the ways that they can. That's a big supplement to their income. That's how some of the guys in WWE specifically make so much money. That's how John Cena's a millionaire. It's not just because of his annual salary, but it's because of merchandise. You know, every time he releases a new color of a t-shirt, they can't keep it on the shelves there at the live events.
I'm wondering whose bright idea this was. I mean, it's great for the company. If you're towing the company along, congrats to Global Force for literally taking food and money out of people's mouths and pockets. But for the wrestlers, I wonder if it's such a good idea to get into bed with something like that, because, you know, yes, it's television and, you know, steady paycheck perhaps, but to lose out on that merchandise credit and to not get something off the top is just absolutely, it's kind of unheard of, right? I mean, nobody does that. Yeah. You get something for, you know, your likeness, your image, your this, your that. So it's just, it astounds me the balls that it takes to drop a contract like that and go, hey, listen, you want to play ball with us? Here it
is. This is what you got to sign, yeah.
And it astounds me, too, that people are, you know, actually signing these things, because I'm like, wow. You know, either you're not hard up or just really, really want to do this whole thing with them, or you really don't know any better. And that's just sad, because wrestlers already have like a leg down, because there's no health care and no union and this, that, and the other. And now, you know, there's no merch credit in your pocket. So that's just even worse, even more of a downward spiral as far as, you know, the guys and girls in business working to achieve something, because they're working for pennies already and they're putting their bodies on the line, and literally they won't be getting any kind of payoff. That's just sad.
Maybe Global Force Wrestling thinks that they can get away with this because, hey, I'm giving you exposure on TV. But I'm sorry, 3,000 people watching on Pop TV is not really worth that. Also, on the heels of WWE canceling Talking Smack, Impact Wrestling is going to have an after show called After Impact on ImpactWrestling.com.
Oh, goodness. So they canceled. So WWE cancels Talking Smack, and like Impact's like, heck yeah, we'll do that. We'll take that gimmick.
It's a good gimmick. I mean, let's be honest. You literally are freestyling for an hour off the cuff, just shooting the shit. So why not? People bought into it. People liked it. People commented. Twitter was a buzz. People were looking forward to it. So if you can pick up some of that momentum and pick up some of that audience and say, hey, listen, we've got guys and girls coming on after the show, and they're literally just going to say whatever they think, whatever they feel. You know, I might buy into it. I might not watch Impact, but I might watch After Impact just because I want to see, you know, they're going to recap the show and somebody's going to say something maybe a little outrageous, a little off kilter, say something I maybe shouldn't know, say some inside baseball knowledge, you know, or excuse me, inside the wrestling term knowledge that I shouldn't know. And it'll be, you know, it'll be interesting. So I can, it's not like, you know, the WWE had Talking Smack copyrighted where you can't do an after show, you know. Impact has stuff on YouTube and they steal stuff all the time. So why the heck not? Go for it, you know. Good kudos to them for, you know, jumping on something that was established as good and try to take it and make it as their own.
But here's why Talking Smack worked. Daniel Bryan. Are they going to have Daniel Bryan on After Impact? No, they're probably going to have Jeremy Borash.
Yeah, or Josh Matthews.
They're going to have Madison Rayne, because you need a girl.
If you followed today, they said that Madison Rayne has left Global Force today.
Oh, well, sorry. Well, then we need a new chick.
Okay, sorry. So I'm looking into this right now. So this is what it says. Thursday night, 9 p.m., don't miss the premiere of After Impact with Josh Matthews and Tyrus.
And Tyrus, wow.
So Josh is the girl in this scenario. Got it.
Yeah, because he's definitely the bottom to Tyrus's top.
Oh, so yeah, Tyrus can talk, first of all. I mean, I didn't know that, but...
I mean, most human beings can talk.
Well, I thought he was a dinosaur or something. I don't know.
Somebody can call his mama, though, and she can talk. she can help. She's the third guest on the show. Every episode, somebody calls his mama, and they put her on live with them.
And that ends the amount of time we're actually going to give Global Force Wrestling on this show.
There you go. That's way more than they deserve.
I mean, I think we made the quota for the rest of the month.
Rest of the year.
I knew the year was coming. I knew it. Okay.
All right. So let's talk about a feel-good story. Why not? Shane McMahon survived a plane crash. His plane safely crashed into the ocean. The Lord looks with favor upon Shane O'Mac.
We know that Shane McMahon takes big bumps. Okay. And the McMahon family is indestructible. Do you want me to go over specific instances of how we know that each family member is indestructible?
Please remind everyone, Danny.
Vince McMahon survived not only the limo crash, but an explosion, but the stage collapsed. And there was they never even checked on him. He did that, and then, he comes back and not a scratch on him. Linda McMahon was once a quadriplegic. Now she's a member of the. Now she works in the White House. Stephanie McMahon was, you know, given to demon sacrifice and pretty much like date raped and married. And here she is now, helps lead a Fortune 500 company. And Shane McMahon, we've seen, you know, as Jimmy Havoc, a friend of ours, said on Twitter, the fall from the helicopter to the water does not even rank in the top three highest falls that Shane McMahon's done in professional wrestling.
Truth. #truth.
Here's my question. Is is it possible that the plane was going to land elsewhere and Shane told the pilot, no, 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 crash into the ocean. That's a bigger bump.
That's possible. He said, no, don't crash into the ocean. It'll keep crashing to the ocean.
Or maybe it was Vince on the headset saying, heading to the ocean, pal.
He goes into the pilot, going to the ocean.
Oh, gosh.
Damn it, I said going to the ocean.
So we're happy that Shane is alive and well and that nobody was injured in this real-life crash. But it just kind of goes to show how this life and the art kind of merge into one, because we're able to make jokes about this man who literally could have lost his life as this helicopter or plane or whatever crashes into the ocean.
So what are the odds Shane O'Mac does a airplane landing at WrestleMania next year, or jumps out of a plane to land into the Mercedes-Benz Superdome?
They're actually going to bring back, like they did, like Bash on the Beach did, where they have like the ring kind of on some sand, and then they have like a moat around it before the crowd's actually there. And Shane's going to do, yeah, like a helicopter big plunge into that as somebody's on like a floaty floating in there. He's going to do the elbow drop out of a helicopter.
I could see that being a commercial. I could really truly see that being SummerSlam's commercial.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's crazy to me that, yeah, that happened, and you know, he's alive to tell the story, and now we're going to, you know, come up with ideas, and who knows, the WWE's crazy.
They already have these ideas. We're just repeating them.
Well, they're going to incorporate them into their storylines and just put them out there, and it's great and it's bad at the same time. It's horrible and it's wonderful, because we're all going to have to go back, you know, when they bring this back up and go, hey, remember that time when, you know, Shane's plane crashed into the ocean? Shane is now the modern day Ric Flair, where he survived a plane crash. I mean, let's just be honest. If Shane is out here styling and profiling, kissing girls and, you know, being Space Mountain, it would not shock me at all.
I'm actually currently viewing a meme that has a picture of a helicopter and Shane doing the cage dive, like they cut and pasted Shane doing the cage dive from Mania, like out off of the helicopter. And it says he has more lives than a cat.
You know, I said it's going to happen. They're going to find a way to turn this into a... even if it means that they're going to film it elsewhere, pre-tape it, and show it later, it's somehow they're going to make him fall out of something. Or it's just, it has to happen. I mean, and in case something goes wrong, they are by the ocean. Oh, not the ocean, but they're right by the Gulf.
That's true. So they can, he can stop, drop, and roll right into the water.
Yeah, they can crash into the Gulf, and then he can take a quick, you know, Uber to the Superdome.
Yeah, where Hulk Hogan holds WrestleMania. Yeah, right there. It'll be good. It'll be good for everybody.
I'm telling you, WrestleMania 34, it's my dream right now to be there. And
to see Shane McMahon's helicopter
dive.
See
Shane do a crazy bump, Hulk Hogan returns, and Kenny Omega makes his WrestleMania debut.
Wow.
Two out of three of those things are likely to happen, and it doesn't involve Kenny Omega.
Look, man, do not mess with my dreams.
Your dreams are a lie.
All right, so speaking of dreams, people are dreaming that they're going to see Brock Lesnar in the octagon again, as it is rumored that he has re-entered that USADA testing pool. UFC has denied this. Of course, they denied it last year when actually it happened. So,
yeah.
Is Brock Lesnar preparing for a possible return to the UFC after being retired, after being suspended, after he leaves WWE?
I don't think he's going to leave WWE. I think they're going to still have him. I think they're still going to play this where he has a contract, but where he's doing both, because WWE wants to use his whatever fame and stuff he's got to help push what they got. You know, they still want to do this cross promotional thing that's to help them get Rousey for WrestleMania against Charlotte.
If the timing works out, he won't be able to fight again until early next year.
It's okay. They'll hype it the entire time.
But
of course,
are they going to let him fight right before he has his last contracted match at WrestleMania 34?
They'll put him in there with somebody like, they'll put him in there with Cena or Randy. Somebody safe, somebody who, you know, they know he could dominate or keep him safe and let him go off into the MMA sunset and do his little thing. I mean,
well,
there's
also the possibility that he could hurt himself in training for his MMA fight and not be able to work Mania. I think that's more so a possibility than him getting hurt professionally wrestling and not being able to fight UFC. I think it's the other way around. More guys get hurt in the UFC in training than they actually do in the fights because they push their bodies so hard to try to get them to a top shape. They usually push them too hard and they're tearing muscles and ligaments and these kind of things. So I think that's a more realistic possibility than him, you know, breaking his ankle while wrestling and then not being able to fight UFC. But if it would be dangerous for them to schedule both around the same time. I would just say that. You're putting at least one in jeopardy. Yeah, you're putting at least one, if not both, in jeopardy.
So either this happens on the December UFC card or it doesn't happen until after WrestleMania. But until the athletic commissions or somebody speaks up, it's still something about his suspension, right? When does it reactivate if he comes back from retirement? Because I believe that he still has 5 months left in his 1 year suspension. So that has to be fulfilled. So that's paperwork that's going to eventually become public knowledge. So that should happen sometime soon. Somebody will acknowledge it, and if it does happen, I mean, right now the UFC needs stars. Especially if Conor McGregor never comes back to the UFC after his multi-million dollar fight against Money Mayweather.
Yeah, and I think Conor's less, UFC's less likely to want Conor back if he gets beaten badly in that fight too. If he gets beaten very, very badly by Floyd Mayweather, I think UFC is less likely to want him to come back. They'll say, no, you can keep boxing. Just keep our name out your mouth.
Again, the UFC needs moneymakers for themselves. If Rousey does retire.
Yeah, and joins the world of professional wrestling.
And, of course, there's Jon Jones, who can't even make it to a fight, unfortunately, because he keeps messing up for one reason or another.
When it happens so many times, it's not called messing up anymore. It's called a pattern.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, they definitely don't have star. UFC definitely doesn't have stars that could pass over that, you know, people who, because I mean, the biggest thing with Brock and some of the other people is that even if you're not a diehard UFC fan, you may have heard this person's name. You may have seen them on a magazine or something. You know, right now, it's just kind of piles of generic UFC guys. There's no one or two people that stand out so well.
I'm so glad you didn't say piles of nobody. I'm like, oh, don't say it. UFC needs Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar does not need UFC. WWE will give Brock any kind of leeway that he asks for in order for him to train or get back to that UFC level, because the WWE knows what a valuable asset and commodity Brock is in his name, value, and recognition alone. So it would not surprise me if there was a nice huge price tag somewhere out there and Brock is trying to get back ready to go so that, you know, he can collect both those big checks and laugh his way back to his farm in Canada or wherever the hell him and Sable dwell now.
Hopefully we'll have more information in the next few weeks, if not a month or two. But he's got SummerSlam. probably Survivor Series, maybe the Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, for maybe another, you throw in another big show in there, and then that's it. A few Raws. Does Lesnar do a SmackDown before he leaves?
Probably not.
No, not at all. There's no reason for it. It's not big enough, because the Raw brand is still the flagship brand for the WWE. So outside of pay-per-views, it's all about Raw. No matter how good the ratings are for SmackDown or Talking Smack or whatever, Raw is always going to be that favorite child and that one that everyone is going to pay attention to, at least in the WWE's mind, and that's the buy-in. So
it's the show that won the Monday Night Wars for them, okay?
Right.
It's because of Raw that WCW died.
You're not going to put your ace on your B show. You're going to keep them on the A show. We always say the A and the B show. WWE is convinced that Raw is the A show, and putting Lesnar on SmackDown is beneath him. Yeah. And they would not do that to him.
You don't work on Tuesdays.
Right.
He works on Sundays and Mondays, and that's it.
That's it. No more.
And he doesn't even work every Sunday. He works like one Sunday every 6 months.
He's like in the WWE reserves, one weekend a year, and
yeah, whatever. Two pay-per-views a year and one Raw a month or something. Yeah.
Moving on, the G1 has started. Started on Monday, which was a free show on New Japan World. We began with the A block, and already a match of the tournament contender in Kota Ibushi versus Tetsuya Naito, and man, what a match it was. It's everything people could talk about on Monday until, well, the big Raw reveal.
They pushed the limits. I mean, that, like, everything in New Japan is coming up gold. No joke. Everything is just, you keep watching, we keep hearing, match after match, special after special. They are literally trying to take over the North American market, I believe, by putting on not just the, you know, bigger names, but putting on some of the best wrestling out there, with these great guys who are just so talented and just so like ahead of the curve compared to what we're seeing on the Worldwide Wrestling Federation's any of their pay-per-views or regular shows. So this is, you know, the G1 is always a big deal, and this match was like a big deal within a big deal. It was like, wow.
And that's definitely available for everyone to watch for free on New Japan World. By the time everybody is listening to this, the first matches of the B block would have happened, but this whole week's gonna have a lot of great matchups. I can't wait to see them all. So definitely check those out. Great time to subscribe to New Japan World. Definitely worth the ¥9.99 to whatever that comes around, $2. Which, if you pay with your American Express, then there's no transaction fees. Or if you have some type of other special card that does that, but for sure, American Express is your way to go.
Are we sponsored by American Express? I mean, I'm just wondering.
Speaking of sponsors, this is a great time to remind everyone, Moe's Rocks. If you want a burrito and don't want to get E. coli or any other type of disease that you could get from a Chipotle, go to Moe's, the best place for quesos. So don't forget, when you're hungry, Moe's Rocks. The Bola announcements have come out. All the participants, the brackets, in the first round. Brian Cage versus Desmond Xavier. TK Cooper versus Sammy Guevara. Rey Fénix versus Rey Horus 3. Catch the first two matches on MLA Worldwide. Donovan Dijak versus Trevor Lee. Flash Morgan Webster versus Marty Scurll. Jeff Cobb versus Sammy Callahan. Matt Sydal versus Penta El Zero M. Matt Riddle versus Michael Elgin. Jonah Rock versus Zack Sabre Jr. Mark Haskins versus Travis Banks, Flamita versus Ricochet, and Keith Lee versus Walter. Talk about two tanks hitting each other at full force right there.
Yeah, the ring may not be able to contain them.
Oh, wow. I like that. They're going to have to reinforce the ring. Yeah.
That's it. So it doesn't break at the end of the show. Conveniently, at 9:59, the ring breaks.
All right. To me, the key matchups in my heart, in my mind, and all over my body. Of course, Keith Lee versus Walter. Walter recently defeating Matt Riddle for the Progress Atlas Championship. These two monsters will collide. Flamita versus Ricochet, two of the best high flyers, if not one and two, in the entire world. Of course, Rey Fénix versus Rey Horus, who continue to put match of the year contenders, as we saw Mucha Lucha Atlanta 12 Border War, available on the High Spots Wrestling Network. And if that's not big enough, the reunion of the South Pacific Power Trip. You know, TK Cooper left Progress because his visa expired. So that was the end of the team. But PWG is bringing them together for 1 weekend only. Not only in the tournament, but they'll be tagging against the Young Bucks in a non-title match. Now, Tamika, you and I had the pleasure of seeing these two guys live and in action twice.
They were flipping fantastic, no pun or anything, but that whole South Pacific Power Trip, that whole dynamic, the three of them together, because we don't want to forget about the young lady in the group, but they put on a clinic. I was thoroughly impressed to the point where I followed them on Twitter, I followed them around WrestleMania weekend, you know, everything they started to do or they were doing in the past, I looked up. So to have them back as a team, if you've never seen them, you have to watch. They are just that dynamic together. Individually, they're great. Together, they're even greater. So I'm like all bubbly and like, oh my gosh, because that's how good these boys and that girl together are. So excited. Leave it to Bola. The good folks at Bola are always putting together or pulling together great matchups and have them against the Young Bucks. I know it's going to be one of those matches that you're just going to look at and go, holy shoot, this is great. So get ready, y'all. Get ready.
Danny, any matches here that stand out to you?
There's really almost too many to choose, I guess. Because even if they're not ones that you think about that look good on paper, they have the possibility to steal the show. That's what Ball is known for. It's known for making stars. You know, it helped raise the stock of the Lucha. Some of the guys who would become bigger names on Lucha Underground when they were in Bola before. Phoenix and Pentagon and Angelico and Jack Evans helped raise their stock in the United States a whole lot. It's known for, there's always kind of one or two people at least each year in Bola that literally kind of get their name made based on their appearances. So it's difficult to pick what match is going to be. What match I'm looking forward to, because the match I'm looking forward to, I may not even know about yet, or I may not even think about.
Hey, I'm going to jump in there for Danny. You can't go wrong with the Keith Lee match. We already said that,
absolutely,
right?
But absolutely.
I still want to go back and say Keith freaking Lee. No matter what he's doing, climbing a mountain, it's still going to be just something you want to watch.
We were there, but during the Evolve in Atlanta, the crowd was pretty much tired until Keith Lee came out. People went crazy.
Yeah, because it's Keith Lee. Everybody has to bask in his glory.
The glory comes and it touches you and it makes you bask. And if you don't bask of your own accord, Keith Lee will make you bask. There we go.
So that will be Bola on Labor Day weekend in Reseda, California. And of course, about 400 people will get to see it. Tickets will be going on sale sooner than later. And it's going to sell out in like 30 seconds.
And everybody else will have to wait 2 or 3 months before the DVD gets released. And by that time, the hype will have died down.
But the hype hasn't died down for this Sunday's Battleground pay-per-view. It's happening live on the WWE Network for new subscribers.
The award-winning WWE Network.
The award-winning WWE Network. Free for first-time subscribers. Everybody else, $9.99. So here are your matchups, and we're going to do our predictions. See, of course, Danny be right again, as he usually is with his predictions.
Yep. I'm getting better and better with my predictions of late.
In the kickoff show, we have Ty Dillinger, which perfectly plays right there, against Aiden English.
Also perfectly placed, mind you.
Wow.
Does anybody really care? Is it? I mean, that's why it's in the pre-show, right? It might as well be the dark match. Okay.
Well, that just means we don't have a bathroom break.
You can pause it and then go to the bathroom and then come back, but you just have to stay off social media for 10 minutes or whatever, so they don't spoil it for you.
So, can we all agree that Ty Dillinger is winning this thing? Because, you know, Ty Dillinger, you know, you got to ride the thing until it's gone.
Yeah, you got to ride that 10 thing until people stop, get tired of yelling 10.
Okay, fine. Ty Dillinger wins this one, yes. Aiden English still is a nice wrestler, but this is Ty's match, sure.
Well, there's no reason for Aiden English to win. What would they do with Aiden English after he wins? Are they going to push him? Are they going to push Aiden English and have him in long featured segments and bigger matches and stuff on main cards? No, he's Aiden English. They're more likely to do that with Ty Dillinger, and that's even less likely.
Wow.
Okay. Not that either guy are like terrible. It's just it's obvious that WWE doesn't want to do anything big with either guy because they've been in the system for a long time and they haven't had anything even remotely big done with either of them.
Well, we at least can agree that one of them is talented. The other one has a 10 chant.
One of them can sing and, you know, act, and he's a thespian and such. And the other guy has a weird haircut. All
right. In no particular order. Sami Zayn versus Mike Kanellis with Maria Kanellis.
Sami Zayn needs to win.
Right, but can he overcome the power of love?
Sami Zayn is winning in the love department because he has his own charity of Sami for Syria, which to me is a pretty hefty love to love an entire country. But he's not going to win the match because they want to push Mike and Maria, and Sami doesn't get big wins on TV.
I'm with you on that. I think Mr. Kanellis is taking the W.
Mm. Power of love conquers all. I'm all about the love. All about the love.
Don't need money. Don't need
I didn't mean it like that, but yes.
Next, for the United States Championship, AJ Styles defends against the former face of America, Kevin Owens.
AJ, all the way. I think Owens is needing to chase at this point, and even with him with the babyface title on his heel character, he needs a little comeuppance. So AJ picked it up at a house show. I think he continues on with it.
Yeah, I think AJ can still do some good things with it.
I think going into SummerSlam, AJ needs to have the belt. You want to make that a big show, a big matchup. Thursday night, you know, Nakamura kind of hinted at wanting to go to the belt. And I don't think you need to wait until WrestleMania to do that match. While I would love to see that live at WrestleMania, SummerSlam is a big enough pay-per-view to do AJ versus Nakamura. Everybody's seen it a few years back, but it's time. If you're not going to do it at WrestleMania, do it at SummerSlam. Make it an even bigger show. But AJ Styles needs to retain the championship It is time for AJ to have a good, solid championship run here.
Speaking, it's past time.
And next, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Baron Corbin, Mr. Money in the Bank himself.
Mr. Personality himself, Baron Corbin. Well, if...
Bro, let's be honest. That briefcase has more personality than Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
Wow.
If we are going with your theory that they would like to do AJ versus Nakamura at SummerSlam, well, then Nakamura needs a win leading into that. So he gets a win over Mr. Money in the Bank.
I agree, but they're doing something weird with this Corbin kid. They're letting him win. I don't think he loses this, because I think they want him to be a big, huge monster going into whenever he cashes his title contract thingy in. So I love Nakamura. I'm picking Baron Corbin.
In 22 seconds, like his old NXT squashes, the crowd will count. He'll punch once and then hit the end of days and finish.
No, not on Nakamura. I mean, he'll go a full, 10 minutes before he picks up the win.
Gotcha.
Nakamura will win a fatal 5-way elimination match to determine the number one contender to the secondary women's championship at SummerSlam.
Well, really? I mean, a secondary title? It is the SmackDown women's title. It is not a secondary title.
Because we all know that the WWE Women's Championship is the one that Alexa Bliss holds. Every other women's championship is secondary to hers. We could also call this the SmackDown Championship that Alexa Bliss built. Your choice, Tamika.
I choose not to call it either. I mean, I don't like the glowing belt. I really, truly don't. I think it's the most hideous thing I've ever seen, and I've seen some pretty ugly stuff in my life, okay? But this Fatal 5-Way, I can honestly and truly tell you, I don't care. I feel bad. I really do. I'm not invested in these girls, and I don't know what they need to do to get me to buy into them. I really don't care who's the number one contender for this belt. I just want somebody to beat her and so they can take the glow off of the title, because I just really can't stand how they've made this title. It's very kiddie at this point. It is very childlike, and I just can't take it. So I don't care who wins this match. I really don't. Becky is fine. I don't care. Hell, put the belt on Lana for all I care. I don't even know if she's in the match. So
Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Natalia, Tamina, and Lana.
Lana wins through it.
I'm going with Tamina just for the odd choice. She's the least likely, so I'm going with her.
That sounds about how you pick things in life. So we're gonna go with Becky. Come on, we've already discussed this. It was written thousands of years ago by my ancestors. Us as gingers cannot bet against each other. Okay, we have to stick together as there becomes less and less of us on the face of the earth. We have to band together. So I'm not, by the blood of my ancestors, I'm not allowed to legally bet against him. Or I will be persecuted by the Ginger Council. And you guys may never see me again.
That is actually a thing.
Clearly, I need to be more ginger. Sorry.
You can't just become ginger. It's a problem, okay?
Hi, I'm ethnic. I can become anything I want to become. It doesn't matter.
We live in a society these days where people can be whatever they identify with.
I identify as a blonde. I'm not naturally blonde, but I say I am. And I can be blonde in like 3.2 seconds.
A lot of people can identify you as a blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on.
In a flag match, free agent John Cena versus Rusev.
Oh, flag matches are back. Oh, the greatest match in the history of America. It's July, so we're going to have a flag match with an American versus a Russian, because it's 1987 all over again.
A Bulgarian, okay?
Yeah, they called him Russian for like 2 years before they finally said Bulgarian. Okay, he's to WWE, he's Russian. It's all Eastern Europe. It's all Cold War stuff. Okay, and it's
Lana is a ravishing Russian.
Yeah, I mean, even though she's, you know, American. Come on, we've all seen her talk without that accent. If you have Snapchat or Instagram, you've seen her without her accent. She doesn't really kayfabe it on the social media. To be honest, most people don't. So, you know, I mean, you know, they have their real names as their social media account names, those kind of things.
Here we go. Yeah, so flag match.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan versus Baron Von Roschke. Would be great.
I don't think
Adnan Al-KC. Yeah, Cena doesn't lose in this kind of match because you don't want America to fall to the commies.
Right. Plus, he just came back from whatever he was doing that nobody cares about until they push it on your screen and promote the hell out of it.
Hey, he was filming American Grid. Available now on Fox and Fox Now app.
And 2 or 3 movies here in Atlanta, actually.
Are we sponsored by Fox now? Anyway.
Trying to be sponsored by anybody and everybody. You know, if we say enough good things about people, eventually somebody will hopefully give us money to keep saying them.
Look, we have a prize.
Or a free sandwich or something, you know? A free burrito. Listen, I mean, that would make
I'm more than willing to sell out. Patrick, I just need to know.
Give Patrick free queso and he'll be happy.
Okay? I'm more than willing to sell out, boys. Just tell me who I'm pointing them at and I'll sell it out, okay? Anyway, Cena wins because yay America and Russia bad. And yeah. Who cares? Because he just came back from his multiple other jobs that he does. Cena's like that guy. And he can't lose at this job, which is his main gig for now.
A few years ago, he had a feud with a dude because the dude did all this stuff and didn't spend as much time in wrestling. You know, so to quote Harvey Dent, I will say, you either die the hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And I think at this point, Cena is living enough to see himself become the thing he hated.
I know that when he does, he can't see me, but can he see himself? I mean, maybe that's the problem.
Maybe he can't even see him, yeah.
Yeah.
His powers of invisibility are so strong.
Poor guy, those are issues that are just, you know, unfounded. Unheard of.
I think John Cena will win this match. I mean, it is a flag match. It is July.
Hacksaw over Adnan Al-KC in the flag match this Sunday.
And lastly, in your main event of the evening, a Punjabi prison match for the WWE Championship.
Finally. In the main event. The most heralded match in WWE history, we see it return. The Punjabi Prison. The match that everybody's been asking for the last 10 years. When are we going to see another Punjabi Prison match? The first one was an instant classic and is still talked about to this day as one of the greatest matches in history. You know, with just a concept of climbing bamboo. That captivated America and the world at large. So now, in 2017, in an amazing and extremely odd year for professional wrestling, the Punjabi Prison match does return.
And in one side, your reigning, undisputed Maharaja.
That's how you know the champion's going to lose when he comes out first, okay?
Jinder Mahal defends against the Viper, Randy Orton.
Because Randy Orton hates foreigners. He hates foreigners and weird people. That's why I was fighting Bray Wyatt for a long time, because Bray Wyatt's a weird person. And
diving.
And then he killed both of the Singh brothers because he hates foreigners.
So that means that he hates FOW because, you know, I'm a foreigner and you guys are weird?
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, either or pretty and much. The combination together. We're lucky he hasn't blocked us on social media yet.
Hey, remember when they were here last? Randy tried to kill me. I'm just saying. Because I told him to dive. So, yeah. Like, the main event is a bathroom break, right? I mean, that's what really what happens, especially with this match.
You just turn the show off early. That's what. When the main event's a bathroom break, it means you just change the channel and you watch something else. Is Game of Thrones back on or something? Can't you go ahead?
Hell yeah, that? Game of Thrones is back on. I'll be watching that instead of the Poontang match.
Know, they got the midget match or something. Isn't that the main event of this week's Game of Thrones?
Oh God, no. What's going to happen on Game of Thrones
It's micro, right? Isn't that the term they use?
Minis.
Yeah. They are foreign, yeah. So it is minis, yeah.
I mean, didn't Hulk Hogan have a company for them? It was called Micro Championship Wrestling. So would you call them micros?
Yeah, that's where I brought up the term micro. I've seen Micro Championship Wrestling. It was actually kind of fun. But they came to Marietta a few years back. I have pictures of me with a bunch of midgets. It's kind of creepy.
Hey, stop talking about the selfies that we took the other day.
Yeah.
Well,
it's just, you know, that was just with one midget, not a bunch. So yeah, back to the match. It might be entertaining. The concept is silly because you have to climb over and then you have to, if they play the concept exactly the way they did in the first one, you basically had to like climb over two levels or climb up and then jump across and climb out, where it was like some of them were filed to points and stuff. It was very unusual. And that, hence they didn't really bring it back. It didn't become, you know, I guess they hoped it would become the next Hell in a Cell, but it didn't. Here it's back. And we'll see. Maybe hopefully this one's better. Both of the people in this one are a lot, let's say, a lot more agile. Let's say athletically gifted and not mutants in the bad sense of the word. So it should be at least more athletically entertaining rather than trying to get a guy who can barely walk to climb things.
All right, so let's pick a winner. I'm going first. Jinder Mahal retains because you do not hinder Jinder.
Especially in his own match.
He picked this crap. So, yeah, Mahal wins.
And, yeah, that's it. It's his match, man. This is going to be his Hell in a Cell.
It is unanimous. So he heads to SummerSlam as champion. Any guesses who he defends against?
He's going to lose to Ty Dillinger in the main event. That sells out the 90,000 Pontiac Silverdome.
So, in other words, you think he's going to face John Cena?
That's what I was going to say.
No, I just told you. He's facing Ty Dillinger, and it's going to sell out the stadium. Okay? Ty Dillinger's going to – they're going to be so impressed by Ty Dillinger's pre-show win. They're going to put him in a six-pack challenge for number one contendership, and he's going to win. And the 10 chance will then never go away. So, get ready to hear that for the next 50 years.
50 years? I mean, that's a long time. We're going to have to go against your tie and say he's going to face Cena. Cena wins this flag match, and that automatically makes him number one contender for the WWE SmackDown Championship or whatever it's called. So, yeah.
Cena. In theory, you win a match defending America. Shouldn't you get a United States title shot instead of a world title shot?
We don't want him to face AJ again. Been there, done that.
What he needs to do is he gets to continue to be on his own Lex Express.
Yeah, that's true.
So after taking care of the Russian, now he goes against the Maharaja.
He takes the bus right over to the Isle of Punjab. And
he'll probably take care of Kevin Owens, the Canadian, in between.
In between there, yeah. You know, because, I mean, Canada's right on the way to India from Bulgaria and Russia, so it makes sense that you make a stop over there.
Just taking out all foreigners. If you're not America, John Cena hates you. Just, I said it, yeah, it's true.
That's it,
Well, that is our Battleground preview, and that is it for the show tonight. I hope everyone enjoyed the show. So, please subscribe to the Wrestling with Warts Audio Network. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Android devices. make sure you head over to WrestlingWithWorst.com for all of the podcasts on the network, as well as great reviews and articles on professional wrestling. Check us out on the Twitter at FOW Radio. Tamika's on Twitter at Mika Villas. Danny's on Twitter at Danny F and Danger. I'm on Twitter at Yellow PA, at Yellowman PA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.